All right. Good afternoon. A lot of topics are covered during sermons, during different things you'll hear on a newscast, even in the secular world. What we're going to cover today is a very significant topic. We've been talking about how the talking heads, and I don't mean in the regular world, I mean in the church, they're going to keep telling everyone everything's fine, things are going well, wealth and health, blessings and abundance, God bless America, regardless of what we do, God bless America, things are going to come back. Since I first got a chance to speak in this pulpit, which is I don't know how many years ago, we've been talking about how that's not the case. You cannot violate a holy God, a righteous God, and think there will be no consequences. And only in the church are we that foolish. If you walked into your parents' house with a bottle of liquor in one hand and a marijuana joint in the other hand, hey, what's up? Go to my room. See you in a little bit.
Yeah, right.
You know there would be consequences. Why does the church think that that's an earthly father and mother that you wouldn't do that to? Why does the church think they can do that to their heavenly father and there will be no discipline? We're not talking about who's saved and who's not saved. We're not talking about who's a Christian and who's not a Christian. We're talking about the church being pushed to maturity.
Amen.
To be a mature person in the faith that gives a faithful witness for our Lord. Paul, when he was speaking to the Corinthians, was not speaking to Muslims. He wasn't speaking to atheists. He was speaking to a young, crazy church that were doing many things wrong. And he said, you wonder why many of you fall asleep. Now, what did he mean by fall asleep? They were dying. They were so misbehaved and so crazy in the church that God, the only remedy for some of them to slow them down was to kill them. Now, it didn't mean they were all going to hell. It didn't mean that none of them were believers. But they were so bad, so unpractical, so unfaithful, that they were falling asleep because of the way they acted. We're going to see more of this happening in the church. We see pastors dropping dead. We see church members dropping dead and going through terrible things in the visible church. God will start to turn the screws when it comes to persecution in this place too. Because you're better off not carrying his name than carrying his name and disgracing him. We're not talking about, look, we all have our bones in our closet. And some of us got more than a couple bones. If we opened the closet, the bones would pile, you know, come crashing down and crush us. We're not talking about that. We're talking about believing Christians that claim to believe and say, cutting through a child's face to get to the brain intact is okay. And they bless Planned Parenthood and they say prayers for them. We have Christians that profess to be Christians and say, look, if it's two men that love each other, they can get married. And they can do unseemly things and touch each other in an unseemly way. This is what we're talking about. Everyone has their sin and things that they battle with. We're never teaching perfection. But what's right is right according to the Lord, and what's wrong is wrong according to the Lord. Like I said, you would not walk into your home and take a hit of a marijuana joint and then slug down some liquor and try and convince your parents that that was okay. And don't think that parents won't suffer the consequences who let their kids do that and are too afraid to correct them. But thank God, we have a God who sits on high who really loves us and really corrects us and wants to save us from destruction. What do you do when you know what's right and wrong, and you've been faithful, and you've tried to warn people, and because of the situation you're in as a Christian, you're on that sinking ship too now. That's what we want to answer today, and I think it's a very valid question and a good question for today. I am an American. I live in America, but I am a Christian first. And with all my being, with all the challenges that I have in my own life, I've never played like I'm Jesus Christ. But I've told people I'm a sinner, and I've come to Christ because I'm a sinner, and I'm warning you, time is short. Come to Christ now. Amen. Come to the cross. Amen. But there's a problem. I don't magically disappear when trials come to this country. I'm stuck here just like you. What do we do when we're on a sinking ship? When we've been somewhat faithful. And we've tried to tell people, the economy will collapse. There is no recovery. None. 888 point drop in the 8 month of the year. The largest two-day drop on record for the market. Is anyone here surprised after what we've been speaking about for the past 6-7 years? Did you really think ungodly bailouts were going to work? Funny paper being pushed into a system was going to work? We really thought God was going to ignore our sins as if we're any different than Israel? He's just going to let us get richer and richer and bigger in every way and still ignore Him? Want to throw Him out of the schools and throw Him out of our homes and throw Him out of the public sphere, and He's still going to let us eat and do everything else we do? No problem? Of course not. No one here is shocked. And we will not be shocked because a worse collapse will continue. And when God takes the toys away, just like when you take the toys away from your children, all of a sudden they listen.
Amen.
I know this because I'm a sinner. When I'm healthy and my body's right and tight and everything's going well and I got plenty of food and I got plenty of money, and there are no real challenges for me, I might not get to church that week. I might not call out on Him in my private time. Get that phone call from the doctor. You got diabetes. You got cancer. You have a heart condition. Your mother's dying or your father's dying. You just lost your job. All of a sudden, everybody becomes real religious. Lord, why me? Might not have talked to you in the last 3-4 years. Might not have read a single verse of scripture. Might not have taught my children anything godly. But now I lost my job or I'm really sick. Why me? And what would the Lord say? Who gave you a job to begin with?
Amen.
Who gave you your health when it was there?
Amen.
You think your children appeared magically out of air? Who brought you through that childbirth and that birthing?
Amen.
Now, when you wouldn't thank me for any of that, you want me to listen now when I took some of it away to rescue your soul. So that's the situation. But thank God we have Scripture. We have a short chapter in the Bible called Acts chapter 27, the book of Acts. And we can see the Apostle Paul was in the same situation. He knew destruction was going to come because God loved him and warned him. And he warned the people, let's not set sail. But they listened to the human experts. They didn't want to listen to God's law or to the prophets. And now the ship's going to go down. And Paul was faithful, and he listened to God, and he warned the crew, and they're still stuck on this disaster ship anyway. What do you do? We're going to find out. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you, Lord, that we can be prophets. We can boldly proclaim that when people violate your law, because you love us and you're faithful, you do let us run on for a little bit. We do get away with things for a while. Not because you're unholy or you're soft, because you love us. And you call us and you want us to turn to you before it's too late, whether it's a nation, a family, a business, a person. But Lord, we know that there does come a time for discipline and for judgment. And we pray, Lord, we know that as this ship sinks around us, and we have to be like Jeremiah, or Isaiah or Ezekiel in a sinking land, that we still have to prophesy and be brave, but we know, Lord, that we don't have to be scared. If we're faithful and trust in you, you will pull your people through. We thank you, Lord, always, in the name of your Son, the one who controls history, King Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
So people have a problem. We have to listen to God's word before man's word. Let us not be like the world and be blind to God's providence. He's really in control. Christ's commands eventually places worldly men on a sinking ship. When you ignore those commands, you will pay for it. You know there's economic experts right now ready to jump off buildings and investors as if they can't figure out why the economy's crashing? As Christians, we can be prophets. You know why the economy's crashing? Because you steal! You steal! You print funny money and you steal! And now you've taken so much, there's no more to take. And there's no more scheme to pull out of your hat. And we can't bail out any more banks. There's no more pressure to put on the people. You steal. You're just like the guy sitting on the corner right now planning how to knock that old lady over the head for a Social Security check. Except you do it with a business suit on and with a computer and with a briefcase so you don't get any jail time. But you're still a thief. It doesn't matter if it's $100 or it's $100 billion. Stealing is stealing. That's why we're in the situation we're in. Boy, why don't they interview me on CNN? One of these shows. That's all right. You'll turn on the TV or some Christian program. I'm just praying for bonuses for everyone. I'm just praying. All these mega churches in the South, because that economy has stayed hot for a while, when the train wreck hits the whole country economically, you remember it was said here, you watch those pastors start to be persecuted and lose their pulpits, even with their 20, 30,000 members. You watch. They're going to go through what we're going through in the North. You don't see mega churches spanning up in Brooklyn anywhere. Why? Because the people are broke. Then you can't trick them. There are no easy jobs to get. We're squashed here. You can't give us wealth and health every week. We're all struggling. We pay $3,500 a month rent for an apartment, not $500 for a whole house in North Carolina or Alabama somewhere. You can't trick us. But depression is coming there too. You watch. Turn to Acts chapter 27. This was a man on a sinking ship. And this is what we pray for. God protect us, even though we warn the people, as the ship called America and Europe goes down. We should all be familiar with this. This is towards the end of the book of Acts. Paul, spreading the gospel around the world. Paul was being sent to Rome because he appealed to Caesar during his trial. And when it was determined that we should sail into Italy, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius, a centurion of Augustus's band. And entering into a ship of Adramidium, we launched, meaning to sail by the coast of Asia, one Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, being with us. And the next day we touched at Sidon, and Julius courteously entreated Paul and gave him liberty to go unto his friends to refresh himself. And when we had launched from thence, we sailed unto Cyprus because the winds were contrary. See, the Bible is not a vague holy book. It names places in history, people, things. It can be trusted. And when we had sailed over the sea of Cilicia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra, a city of Lycia. And there the centurion found the ship of Alexandria sailing unto Italy, and he put us therein. And when we had sailed slowly many days, and scarce were come over against Cnidus, the wind not suffering us, we sailed under Crete over against Salmone. And hardly passing it, came unto a place which is called the Fair Havens, nigh whereunto was the city of Lycia. Now when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them. So they have smooth sailing in the ship. Things are going fine. They think they can keep going. And Paul speaks to them. And said unto them, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. He gives the warning. It looks good, but I know the Lord, and I'm telling you what's going to come. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to Phoenice, and there to winter, which is the haven of Crete, and lieth toward the southwest and northwest. Paul, great, you gave us a warning from your God, but we have experts. You're not a seamaster. You don't know the things we know. You don't have the computers we have. You don't have Wall Street. You don't have modern banking. You don't have psychiatrists and therapists and all the professional charlatans that we have with 6 to 8 year degrees. We're not going to listen. We're going to go on. There's no storm. We're doing well. We've been floating right along. We don't believe you. Thank you, but no thanks. Now what do? He was faithful. He got God's warning. He warned them. Now what do? And that's the situation we're in. Everyone that's been faithful, we've been warning the people. It's coming. Something worse than Hurricane Sandy is coming to this area. Worse. We're not going to recover in a couple weeks. Now what do? Thank God we have the word. We have an answer. What happens with Paul on this sinking ship? And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, things look good, we're going. Thence they sailed close by Crete, but not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euryclidon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, strake sail, and so were driven. And we, being exceedingly tossed with a tempest the next day, they lightened the ship. So when the ship's going down, you start to throw cargo overboard, praying that you'll make it. And the third day, we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer. See, the prophet doesn't see what other people see. The mature Christian doesn't see what other people see. They listen to God. So when things look like they're going to be great, you might see danger and you warn the people. And when things look like there's no hope, we're going down, you might see a light from the Word. And you give that to the people.
Amen.
And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me, howbeit we must be cast upon a certain island. So what does Paul do? He hangs in there. Just like when it looked great and God said, judgment's coming, something's going to happen, he warned the people. Now it looks really bad, but we're not trapped. Look, there's a very famous popular song, and I love the verse in it. It's the end of the world as we know it, and I feel fine. That's my song. I'm singing it in the car all the time. And I'll tell you why. Because God is in control. And I don't care. Let the economy crash. Let the resistant diseases come about. Let the gangbangers get some wind in their sails and go on a wrecking spree. Let this government be out of control, not just the president and the judicial branch and the Congress. Let them all be out of control, because you can do what you want to put us on a course with disaster, but my God reigns on high.
Amen.
And if he says it's going to be all right with me, it's going to be all right with me, regardless of what you and your minions say. And that's the attitude of the church. We don't care. You threaten us with 501c3 status? That's supposed to scare me? My forefathers were eaten by lions. I care about my tax exempt status being taken away. I'm still going to tell you you're evil for what you're doing.
Amen.
But we stay faithful. There is a hope. When persecution comes, we always overcome because he overcame.
Amen. Right.
So when God's people have faith in his sovereignty, we can overcome all things. There are times we have faithfully prophesied disaster and are caught in the middle of that disaster. We warn the people, the trouble comes, we don't run away. We hang in there, we love them, and we keep telling them there is hope. God can relent. Let us repent first. Now let's see the rest of the story. Was Paul right? Was God really in control? But when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria, about midnight the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country, and sounded and found it 20 fathoms, a testament to see how deep the water is. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. Then fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast 4 anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea under color, as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, "Except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved." Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. They had to go on faith. They had to leave the ship. There was no saving it. And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, "This day is the 14th day, and ye have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health, and there shall not a hair fall from the head of any of you." And when he had thus spoken, he took bread, and what did he do? They just shove it in their mouths? Like even many so-called Christians do today? No. He gave thanks first. And gave thanks to God in presence of them all. Even in front of the pagans, pray for your food.
Amen.
And when he had broken it, he began to eat. They were all of good cheer, and they also took some meat. And we were in all in the ship 260 souls. And when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and cast out the wheat into the sea. And when it was day, they knew not the land, but they discovered a certain creek with a shore, into which they were minded, if it were possible, to thrust in the ship. And when they had taken up the anchors, they committed themselves unto the sea, and loosed the rubber bands, and hoised up the mainsail to the wind, and made toward shore. And falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground. And the fore part stuck fast and remained unmovable, but the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. Think of your ship disaster movies. It's not going well. Things are being broken apart. There's all this stuff going on. No, they weren't at the front of the ship like this. But and the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, now listen to this. This is why we behave the way we do with the world, with grace, to give witness. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose, and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land. And the rest, some on boards, and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. What God said would happen, happened. It didn't look good. It wasn't an easy ride. The ship did break apart. It was a real storm. They were panicking. They were ready to sell out. You could not let prisoners get away as a Roman soldier. A horrible death would become of you. So if it looked like your prisoner was going to escape, you killed yourself. Because if the Roman authorities got their hands on you for letting a prisoner escape, it would be worse. Now you know why when you read in the Acts of the Gospels, whenever it looks like prisoners are going to escape, the apostles had to warn the centurions and the Roman soldiers, don't kill yourself. It's going to be all right. This is from God. And things are going to work out. But that was the situation. But all these things were overcome. Why? Because as bad as it looks, he's in control.
Amen.
We have to remember that. Trouble has only started. Things will look like they're going to get worse. The rumors of war will increase. You know what we're supposed to do? Get up in the morning, say your prayers, eat some food, brush your teeth, pray with your family before you leave to work. Leave to work. Be faithful at work. Keep doing what you're doing.
Amen.
Be faithful. Rescue people from the fire. Those who you could not get their attention before, you will get their attention now. When their 401k turns into a 101k, okay? When more layoffs come, when more shenanigans by the banks are carried out, those who would not listen will listen. Remember that. And you will save people from suicide. You have to encourage them. That guy who you see every day, and he's in his hot car right now, this 2015 whatever, new car, and he's not listening because he's making the payments, and he's got the $400 cell phone on his ear, and you're trying to give him a track. He's like, yeah, hold on, baby. Hold on. What? What? When things collapse and the car's taken and the phone is gone and he's got the Metro PCS like I do and he's in the used car and things aren't looking good, he might listen now.
Amen.
This is our chance. Don't get discouraged. As the toys are taken away, we'll have a chance now. So be encouraged, not discouraged. We don't need wealth and health baloney and name it and claim it stuff or you know, ice cream cross Christianity to succeed. We really love them. We tell them that no matter what your financial situation is, no matter what type of health you're in, no matter what house you go home to, Jesus Christ is there for you.
Amen.
You don't have to earn his love. You call on him and he's already there.
Amen.
Open your heart. Be repentant. And if you're not, beg God for mercy.
Amen.
Ask him to help you with that heart of stone and make it a heart of flesh once again. So Christians can survive a sinking ship. Family, career, church, or nation. The faith which overcomes the world is ours. You might be in a relationship. It might not be going too well. You might have been telling your significant other. Men and women both do this. Sometimes you're caught in a tough spot. The husband might be warning the wife. You can't keep living like this. God's going to call your bluff. He's going to get you really sick. Take things away. Things are going to, not because he hates you, because he disciplines you and he loves you. He did not create this relationship so you could go out on Friday nights and party like a rock star while the kids are at home. And the wife could be warning the husband. God did not give you your health just to make more money at work and go to a strip club and leave me here with the kids. And then you go to church on Sunday and play it off like everything's all right. And don't think I'm picking on unbelievers. This is happening in the church. Your actions have to match your mouth. We don't walk around beating up people and then live like maniacs ourselves. I look at myself first. You look at yourself first. Can't tell other people to get into the prayer closet if you're not in yours. Your career, the same thing. You might be challenged at work. You might be going through some things at work. That's all right. Stay faithful. Continue to warn the people. If you're suffering for righteousness' sake, blessed are you. So when you're on a sinking ship, you can make it. This nation is sinking. I don't need to make a complicated argument. They threw the Bible out of schools. Can't preach in schools like they always say, but I could preach in the prison once the kids are destroyed. And same thing here. We don't push families many times to be faithful, but after they're addicted to a drug or to alcohol, things have been broken up, now we want to try and get them into the church? What about giving out tracts and doing things and reaching people in the homes, in these blocks around the church, before they get in trouble? We'll always have people handing out tracts and Bibles to tourists on the boardwalk. Are you reaching the doors around your house, wherever you are? You could be like me, I'm chicken, I leave the track and I run. Slide it under the door, I'm not going to lie. Slide it under the door, leave it on people, on the windshield wipers, put on the windshield wiper. I don't tell them it's me, I'm not crazy. But I plant the seed, I'm not going to just walk by their car or their house. I'm not going to lie, like I'm some super Christian, debating people constantly on Christianity, but I got my tracts with me and I have my Bibles. I leave them everywhere. I don't care if it's the jail, or if it's a five-star, whatever, restaurant, I'm going to leave something. Turn to Lamentations chapter 1. This will be our last reading for today. Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. Jeremiah was thrown into what could be compared to a modern-day sewer, thrown into filth. He was beaten, he was ridiculed, wasn't able to get married, have a family, do those things. Destruction was coming. God needed him to give a message to his nation. All the other prophets, preachers, teachers, even at that time, even on the ancient Jerusalem cable network, they were lying. They were saying everything was going to be great, and Jeremiah looked like an idiot. But he was willing to look like an idiot for God. The whole nation against them. They were telling him, would you shut up? Get us a prophet that says nice things. But destruction came. Did God leave Jeremiah to die? Was he faithful for nothing? No. He delivered them. Jeremiah did not go into the captivity with the people. The great and the mighty that ridiculed him for bringing God's word did, but he was delivered. And that's our hope for us. That first we're spiritually delivered from the wickedness that's going on, and we're really delivered. And we can continue to meet here like God's little family with the little strength we have, even if things collapse around us. Let's listen to Jeremiah. Very seeker-friendly. Jeremiah, Lamentations, crying for a city. What does God's word tell us? How doth the city sit solitary that was full of people? How has she become as a widow? She that was great among the nations and princess among the provinces. How has she become tributary? She weepeth sore in the night, and the tears are on her cheeks. Among all her lovers, she hath none to comfort her. All her friends have dealt treacherously with her. They are become her enemies. Judah is gone into captivity because of affliction and because of great servitude. She dwelleth among the heathen. She findeth no rest. All her persecutors overtook her between the straits. The ways of Zion do mourn, because none come to the solemn feast. All her gates are desolate. Her priests sigh, her virgins are afflicted, and she is in bitterness. Her adversaries are the chief, her enemies prosper. For the Lord, it wasn't the enemies, the Lord did it because she became God's enemy, hath afflicted her for the multitude of her transgressions. Her children are gone into captivity before the enemy, and from the daughter of Zion all her beauty is departed. Her princes are become like carts that find no pasture, and they are gone without strength before the pursuer. Jerusalem remembered in the days of her affliction and of her miseries all her pleasant things that she had in the days of old, when a people fell into the hand of the enemy, and none did help her. The adversary saw her and did mock at her Sabbaths. Jerusalem hath grievously sinned, therefore she is removed. All that honored her despise her, because they have seen her nakedness. Yea, she sigheth and turneth backward. Her filthiness is in her skirts. She remembereth not her last end. Therefore she came down wonderfully. She had no comfort. O Lord, behold my affliction, for the enemy hath magnified himself. The adversary hath spread out his hand upon all her pleasant things, for she hath seen that the heathen entereth into her sanctuary, whom thou didst command that they should not enter into thy congregation. All her people sigh. They seek bread. They have given their pleasant things for meat to relieve the soul. See, O Lord, and consider, for I am become vile. Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Behold, and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, which is done unto me, wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger. From above hath he sent fire into my bones, and it prevaileth against them. He hath spread a net for my feet. He hath turned me back. He hath made me desolate and faint all the day. The yoke of my transgressions is bound by his hand. They are wreathed and come upon my neck. He hath made my strength to fall. The Lord hath delivered me into their hands, for whom I am not able to rise up. The Lord hath trodden on the foot all my mighty men in the midst of me. He hath called an assembly against me to crush my young men. The Lord hath trodden the virgin, the daughter of Judah, as in a winepress. For these things I weep. Mine eye runneth down with water, because the comforter that should relieve my soul is far from me. My children are desolate because the enemy prevailed. Zion spreadeth forth their hands, and there is none to comfort her. The Lord hath commanded concerning Jacob that his adversary should be round about him. Jerusalem is a menstruous woman among them. Is there a problem with the Lord when these things happen? No. The Lord is righteous, for I have rebelled against his commandment. Hear, I pray you, all people, and behold my sorrow. My virgins and my young men are gone into captivity. I called for my lovers, but they deceived me. My priests and mine elders gave up the ghost of the city while they sought their meat to relieve their souls. Behold, O Lord, for I am in distress. My bowels are troubled. My heart is turned within me, for I have grievously rebelled. Abroad the sword bereaveth at home. There is as death. They have heard that I sigh. There is none to comfort me. All my enemies have heard of my trouble. They are glad that thou hast done it. That will bring the day that thou hast called, and they shall be like unto me. Let all their wickedness come before thee, and do unto them as thou hast done unto me for all my transgressions. For my sighs are many, and my heart is faint. A whole book of Jeremiah weeping about the people, but at the same time remembering God is righteous. So here we have, it's election time once again in America. We have our new Messiah rising up. Instead of Obama this time, it looks like it might be Trump. And what do I hear? What are people so happy about with this candidate? You know, Donald Trump stands up for Christmas. He's sick of us not being able to say Merry Christmas. And I've been telling you since I became pastor here, God have mercy on us. I can't wait till they ban us from saying Merry Christmas, because it's disgusting. We say it and we mean nothing by it. May we never say it again until we repent and come to God. We are killing children in the womb. We are selling their brains and their eyes and their body parts. We are saying that men can marry dogs and women can marry cats, and men can marry, and we can eventually marry robots. We sexually abuse our children. We teach them how to use perverted sex toys and all types of sodomy when they're 5 and 6 years old. And you want to say Merry Christmas? Don't even say it. So when the next false Messiah rises up for this election, be a prophet. Tell the people, Republican, Democrat, you're going to get a clown either way, because that's what we deserve. Just like when Israel wanted a king, he gave him Saul, a herder of jackasses, because that's what they deserve, and that's what Saul was best at. God picked David, the people picked Saul. And until we pick Jesus Christ again and his righteousness in this country, we will continue to pick a herder of jackasses. It doesn't matter if it's a Democrat or a Republican. You watch them all make the same promises. The wars will still expand. The taxes will still increase. And the poor people will still get crushed, even with all the promises they give you. And they always use someone that looks like you to crush you. George W. Bush, son of a Bush, crushed Christians, evangelicals. He fooled them all. And what did we get? We got laws passed against us. Faith-based initiative is killing us now. He turned churches into whores, doing whatever the government wanted for government support. And then people want to tell me about Obama? Go over the statistics. The unemployment rate for African Americans has doubled since Obama took office. So you tell me about our president, and then you give me a lie about the next one. I don't care what he is. I'm a Christian. I don't care if they're black, white, Asian, green, purple, where they come from. If they're not serving God, they're hucksters and tricksters. And that's what we're going to get. Don't blame your president. Blame your church. Don't blame your congressman. Blame the pastor that's taking the money and not feeding the people. And I know when someone doesn't know politics, because all they do is pick on the president. As if President Obama, all by himself, without any help from the Bush, the Clintons, from the most holy, anointed Ronald Reagan that conservatives love, as if no one else set up this bomb for us. He just walked in and did it all overnight. I don't want to hear it. People say, oh, I hate Obama. I love him. You know why? He's caused so much trouble, and people, many people are bigoted in the way they look at things. Now the black guy's doing it, so it's not all right. Now I love it. Finally, you woke up. Finally. And we'll get another one worse than him. Watch. Finally, you woke up. You know why people are waking up? Their pockets are getting hit. Like he came in and just in his 7 years. Nothing went before. We weren't broke during the Bush administration. Reaganomics saved everybody. Let's listen to God.
Amen.
Let's weep for this people. Let's not hate them. Give stuff your pockets with Bible tracts. Give Bibles out of it. I don't care if they come to this church. They can never come. I don't think they never come to this church. Get them to a church. Isn't it about Jesus, not your church?
Amen.
We don't need to triple in size.
Amen.
Give out tracts. Save people. Fire is coming. You're going to go home today. You'll listen to some of the junk on TV. We'll have our next Messiah, Trump, on a plane somewhere in a stadium. He's going to save America. It's not going to happen. Trouble is coming. Get out there and save people. Let's be mature Christians. Amen.
Amen.
Almighty God, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, dear God, that men lie, but you don't lie. And we pray, dear God, we pray for mercy for this nation. We pray for mercy for our families. We pray for mercy for all the unsaved. We pray for the backsliders in the church. We pray for the denominations that are prostituting themselves, teaching the people doctrines of devils to keep their 501c3 tax-exempt poor status. We pray, Lord, that they will come back to you. We have a heart, Lord. When you give us your word, it shakes us. We ask for mercy. We thank you, Lord, that you are so patient. It's amazing. So many of us want to kill somebody when they offend us. You put up with this godless generation for so long in your mercy. They blaspheme your name. They won't allow us to teach our kids to pray. They won't allow us to bring a Bible into the schools. We go on like everything's okay. You can't talk about God in the hospital. You can't talk about God at the pizzeria, at the ballpark. You've been asked to leave everywhere. And you still love us. We still gonna eat when we go home. And when the winter comes, you're still going to give us heat in our homes. As godless as we've been, there's going to be gas in our cars and clothes on our back. Because you are merciful. Because when you look at us, you see your son. How dare people desecrate your son's image? Let's wake everybody up, a mature Christianity that brings real fire from heaven and convicts people in their heart. Protect us, Lord. Protect us on this ship that's sinking. Help us to warn the people. We have faith. We know you can protect us. We're not afraid. We pray, dear God, for a real reformation and a real revival, not a phony one under big tents. For miracles, except if you're in a wheelchair and they push you to the back. The miracle tents, real revival in our homes, between a husband and wife, between parents and their children. Children behaving like Christians, not just reading little Bible stories, but really living it. That's what we want, Lord. We pray for it. We beg for it. In the name of your Son, our only King, regardless of how much they hate Him, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Please turn to hymn number 270, Wonderful Words of Life. Just for my people, just so you know, now I don't want to lose our tax exempt status. You know me, I don't talk politics. But before anybody's tricked and runs out, like we've been tricked in for the last 20 years, you know Donald Trump was anti-family, pro-abortion, all these things, could care less. But now that he's getting popularity, like all of them, he flip-flops. You know Romney, they made Obama to be a devil, and Romney was supposed to save us. Do you know that the national health care that the Republicans wanted to overturn, Romney created? Do you know it was Romney Care first? They copied what he did in Massachusetts? Don't listen to the talking heads. Listen to God. Please stand for the benediction. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying, On this wise ye shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, The Lord bless thee and keep thee, the Lord make his face shine upon thee, and be gracious unto thee, the Lord lift up his countenance upon thee, and give thee peace. Amen.
Amen.
Now, on a quick note, just so you know that I'm not living in Disney World, and I work like everyone else and struggle like everyone else. I work in the jails, and I'm going to tell you what they're doing with the adolescents, with those who are 17 years old and under. They reformed all the policies. They now pay them to be in jail. They put money in their commissary, thinking that this is going to help if they behave properly. They're giving them Xboxes and PlayStations, and they're giving them pet dogs to take care of. If you think I'm lying, you can research it. And I'm telling you this now because really, I don't care if they fire me. I'm telling you what's going on. There is real evil. Children are being rewarded for acting out because they want a new generation of slaves. They won't pay them to go to school, but they pay them when they're in the jail. They won't give them a puppy to graduate high school, but they're giving them puppies to behave in the jail. And you can't correct them anymore. So you don't think there's a conspiracy out there, and we don't need to give witness to people before they get caught up in that? Think again. And I apologize to Joel Osteen. I gave the wrong message today. I know everything's going to be great.
Guys, don't forget we got the birthday cake coming out for the